Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Wednesday, May 8th. In today's episode, PM Modi alleges an Ambani-Adani deal with Rahul Gandhi. BJP IT Chief Amit Malviya and Party President JP Nadda summoned by Karnataka Police. Priyanka Gandhi Vadra's stern instructions for party workers. Haryana's BJP government on shaky grounds as independents withdraw support. Air India crisis deepens and Israel continues Rafah invasion. First up, thousands are stranded across multiple airports as at least 90 international and domestic Air India Express, a subsidiary of Air India flights, were cancelled after the cabin crew members went on a mass sick leave. Around 300 cabin crew members reported being sick at the last minute and switched off their mobile phones. They are protesting against the new employment terms at the airline, which is now owned by the Tata Group. Shortly after the mass leave, the Air India Express Employees Union, or AIXEU, wrote a two-page letter to Chairman N. Chandrasekharan, raising concerns about the unequal treatment of staff following the merger with Tata Group. The letter reads, and I quote, "There is a stark departure from commitments on job security, salary and maintenance, and respect for seniority and maintenance," unquote. Adding that some employees with impeccable record have been fired, contrary to assurances made by Union Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman that there will be no termination for 2 years post-acquisition of the formerly Government of India-run Air India. Sources suggest the Ministry of Civil Aviation has asked the firm to resolve issues promptly and ensure facilities to passengers as per DGCA norms. But the company has landed in hot waters after they claimed they do not recognize the labor union. Delhi Regional Labor Commissioner Ashok Perumalla has written an email to Tata Sons Chairman N. Chandrasekharan, where he says the workers' concerns are genuine and Air India's, quote, "blatant violations of labor laws are apparent," unquote. He further called the company's Human Resources Department attempt to mitigate the situation, quote, "an idiotic interpretation of legal provisions," unquote, and alleged that the conciliation offer was misleading and misinformed. He has urged the group to take immediate and effective action. And next, apart from rallies and roadshows, Congress leader Priyanka Gandhi Vadra is also holding Nukkad Baithaks or street corner meetings to campaign for her brother Rahul Gandhi in UP's Raibareli. Before the nine-scheduled Nukkad Baithaks kickoff today, she held marathon meetings with local leaders for 2 days. She reportedly told party workers that she will not move from Raibareli till May 18th. Raibareli and former Congress stronghold Amethi both vote on May 20th. She has been canvassing intensively for both seats. Quote, "Now your 24 hours in a day belong to me. I will scold you, make you run, but stand with you strongly. The doors of my home are open for you round the clock. This election is an election to save the constitution. The BJP wants to take away reservation benefits from you," unquote. Ms. Gandhi Vadra said in a meeting, according to Congress workers. In a roadshow today, she attacked Prime Minister Modi for only supporting rich industrialists and not common people. While in Telangana, Prime Minister Modi reversed the Congress playbook onto them. Quote, "Shehzada for 5 years used to chant, 'five industrialists, five industrialists, five industrialists.' Gradually, he started saying Ambani and Adani. Now it has stopped. Why? How many tempo full of cash has been taken? What is the deal between Ambani and Adani and Congress that after 5 years of abuse, the attacks stopped overnight? Zarur dal mein kuch kala hai. There is something definitely wrong. Has cash been delivered? Cars full of cash?" he questioned. The location of Prime Minister's retort is also significant. Telangana, a Congress-ruled state, recently signed several MOUs with the Adani Group, totaling an investment of over Rs 12,000 crore across various sectors. The surprise attack may have even taken BJP supporters by surprise. As for months, the BJP has been flagging Rahul Gandhi's verbal attacks on wealth creators and top industrialists. In fact, Gaurav Vallabh, while defecting from Congress to BJP, said the party leadership forced him to speak against billionaire Gautam Adani, which he could not do in earnest. Disclaimer, NDTV is a subsidiary of AMG Media Networks Limited, an Adani Group company. In other election development, the Karnataka police has summoned BJP chief JP Nadda and IT cell head Amit Malviya over a post on X by the party's Karnataka unit. The Karnataka unit of Congress had then registered a complaint with the Election Commission, which later became a police complaint, against three BJP leaders for allegedly posting a video with the intention to create feelings of enmity, hatred and ill will against members of the SCST community and violating the Model Code of Conduct for elections. The video shared on social media by Mr. Malviya and other BJP leaders shows a caricature of Congress leader Rahul Gandhi and Karnataka Chief Minister Siddaramaiah, where they take away resources from SCST community and transfer it to another religious group labeled Muslims. And next, after three independent MLAs withdrew their support to the Bharatiya Janata Party, the BJP-led Haryana government is walking a tightrope as it is just below the majority mark in the assembly. While former BJP ally and former Deputy Chief Minister, DJP leader Dushyant Chautala suggested the Congress could make a move to topple the Nayab Saini government and he would support such a move. MLA Sombir Sangwan from Dadri, Randhir Singh Golan from Pundri and Dharampal Gonder from Nilokheri announced their decision to withdraw support to the BJP government at a press meet in Rohtak yesterday. They were accompanied by the leader of the opposition in the assembly, Congress's Bhupender Singh Hooda, and State Congress Chief Uday Bhan. The 90-seat Haryana Assembly currently has 88 members. BJP now has 40 members with three independent supporters, falling short of the 45-member majority mark. The Congress has 30 legislators and three independents now support it. If Dushyant Chautala's GJP backs it up with 10 MLAs, the Congress will have support of 43 MLAs. This leaves two MLAs, one from Haryana Lok Hit Party and another from INLD. However, Haryana Speaker Gyan Chand Gupta said according to the current 88-member count, there is no need for a floor test. Quote, if any decision comes from the governor, whichever party it be, I will still consider 88 seats to decide the majority, unquote, he said. He also added a majority test had earlier been conducted on the demand of Mr. Hooda and there is no need to conduct another one for 6 months. The Nayab Singh Saini government cleared a trust vote soon after he took over in March. Addressing the media, Mr. Hooda said, and I quote, the government should resign. President's rule should be imposed in the state and elections held. This is an anti-people government, unquote. While Mr. Chautala said it is now up to the Congress to make a move. Chief Minister Saini, who was selected to lead the government 2 months ago when BJP broke ties with JJP, has said, and I quote, the government is safe. Congress is just dreaming. They can. We have nothing to worry about, unquote. Interestingly, Mr. Saini is not an MLA, not an elected one. He was supposed to contest in the assembly election this year and retain his chief ministerial post after that with more security. Breaking from breaking news, subsidies for gas and electricity to help citizens are common in many countries. But Germany may soon have subsidies for kebabs. The German left party has reportedly proposed using state funds to cap the price of kebabs at 4.90 euros or rupees 440 and further limited to 2.50 euros or rupees 224 for young people. Kebab sandwiches are a kind of de facto national dish popular among younger folks for daily needs. The cost of kebabs has become something of a running joke in German politics, with Chancellor Olaf Scholz remarking that everywhere he goes, he's asked about it. Kathy Gibbel, a member of the Left Party's executive committee, told German tabloid Bild, quote, when young people demand, Olaf, make the kebab cheaper, then it's not an internet joke, but a serious cry for help. The state must intervene so that food does not become a luxury item, unquote. Now back to news. An Israeli airstrike killed at least 7 people and wounded several others early Wednesday in Gaza City, according to a local hospital. Israel has continued to bomb Rafah and the rest of Gaza Strip as Palestinians remain trapped following the seizure of the vital Rafah crossing on the border with Egypt, according to Al Jazeera. The crossing is key to delivering humanitarian aid into the area where close to 1 million refugees are sheltering. Palestinian Health Ministry reports more than 34,000 have been killed so far in the attacks since October 7. Human Rights Watch said, quote, with each day that Israeli authorities block life-saving aid, more Palestinians are at risk of dying, unquote. While the UN General Secretary warned that a full-scale invasion of Rafah by Israeli forces would be a strategic mistake, a political calamity, and a humanitarian nightmare. Since October 7, Israel has stepped up demolitions of Palestinian homes in a move that policy rights activists say is a tool of forced displacement. So far in 2024, Israel has demolished 404 Palestinian-owned structures, displacing 737 people, according to the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. The country has also not warmed up to a peace proposal by Qatari and Egyptian mediators either. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said it is far short of Israel's demands, where Hamas agreed to a hostage exchange if Israel accepted a permanent ceasefire. The military says it has killed Hamas fighters and dismantled military infrastructure in eastern Rafah as it presses on with its incursion into southern Gaza. Apart from Gaza and Rafah, Israel military says fighter jets attacked sites in several areas of southern Lebanon overnight in what is being said operations against military buildings and terrorist infrastructure of the Hezbollah movement. And lastly, India has received over $100 billion in remittance, becoming the first country in the world to do so. India received over $111 billion in remittances in 2022, according to the United Nations Migration Agency. Remittance is the money that comes back to Indians from migrant families working overseas. The recently launched World Migration Report 2024 by the International Organization for Migration said that in 2022, India, Mexico, China, Philippines, and France were the top five remittance recipient countries. Mexico is the second largest recipient in 2022, with nearly $61 billion in remittances in 2022. Apart from India, Pakistan and Bangladesh also rank among the top 10 recipients of international remittances, underscoring the significance of labor migration from the sub-region. That's all for today. You were listening to The News with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to The News with NDTV on Spotify, Apple, and the NDTV News app. This is your host, Anviti, signing off.